Okay, there you go.
Music? Do we have special music? Somebody's going to do it. Was somebody going to step up and do it? Who's singing today? Anybody? Okay, here comes Rose. All right.
There's a universal principle long forevermore. Refuses to give his God-given power, his power decays and perish. His power decays and perish. Truth that is not living, is not imparted, loses his God-given powers. Truth that is not living, is not imparted, loses his healing virtue. Acts and the Apostle, 2 or 3, loses his God-given power.
Anywho, to God's glory, I'm saying that has really been a blessing to me, and the words are, very powerful. And the name of the hymn is I Know My Heavenly Father Knows, and it goes as such. I know my Heavenly Father knows the storms that would my way oppose. But he can drive the clouds away and turn my darkness into day, and turn my darkness into day. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure he knows the storms that would my way oppose. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure he knows, and tempers every wind that blows. I know my Heavenly Father knows the balm I need to soothe my woes, and with his touch of love divine, he heals this wounded soul of mine. He heals this wounded soul of mine. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure he knows the storms that would my way oppose. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure he knows, and tempers every wind that blows. I know my Heavenly Father knows how frail I am to meet my foes. But he my cause will defend, uphold and keep me to the end. Uphold and keep me to the end. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure he knows the storms that would my way oppose. He knows, I'm sure he knows. He knows, my Father knows, and tempers every wind that blows. I know my Heavenly Father knows the hour my journey here will close. And may that hour, O faithful guide, find me so sheltered by thy side. Find me so sheltered by thy side. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure he knows the storms that would my way up.
holds. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure he knows. And tempers everywhere that glows. Praise the Lord, and that's my prayer, to be sheltered and by his side.
Amen. Amen and amen. If you can kneel, let's pray. If you can't, don't worry about it. Just bow your heart.
Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence. Thank you, Father, for blessing our gathering here, too, and the technology that we're using. And thank you for answering my prayer in regards to this message. We thank you, Father, for blessing everyone that's on the prayer list, especially those that are lost. And Father, we lift up those that are in need of healings, whether it be physical, spiritual, or financial. And thank you again for last night, Father, when you joined us and we praised your name and then we asked you for help in many ways. Thank you for always answering our prayers the way you do. And for blessing our hearts with a desire to make you smile. Thank you again for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain and the faith that moves mountains. We want to be used by you, Father. We want to be part of that Gideon band. We want to glorify you. And so here we are, Lord. Send us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, 3 weeks ago, as I was in study, the Lord gave me the following blessing from Sister White's writings. And as I was reading it, I could not help think of many of the brethren in this church that are very active in doing the work, you know, to win souls for Christ. That blessed my heart greatly as I continue to read what she says here. But at the same time, it saddened my heart a little bit when I think of some of the brethren within our number that are not doing as they know they are called to do, especially the young in faith. Each of us have certain talents that can and must be used to not only glorify Christ, but bring souls out of danger and into the internal family or church of Christ. We had William Miller's dream with that casket filled with all those jewels, and some of the diamonds were like the tip of a pin, the pin top or head, or the point of a pin. There you go. And so it doesn't matter how small your talent is. You work it. And the Lord, of course, cultivates it, and you get more and more and more talents. But anyway, some are not, you know, bringing souls out of danger, especially now that we see them pushing for Sunday laws all around the world on nearly a daily basis. I mean, my Sabbath Attack page, I don't know if you've realized this, I redid the main page on the website, and on the top right corner, if you mouse over it, it kind of rips the whole top of the corner off, and it says Sunday laws are being passed. It's just, I went out and I got, you know, I found this code on how to do that, right? Because I want people to go to that Sabbath Attack page, because every day this week, I put one or two articles, at least one, but sometimes two articles on the website about either Sunday laws passing or lobbying for Sunday laws or people talking about Sunday laws or whatever. I mean, it's just insane the amount of Sunday laws that are being passed. So this excerpt or quote I'm about to share from Sister White's writing was so moving to me that I was convicted to share it this Sabbath and put off part three of my series that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that Ellen White was in fact a prophet. One more week. I'll do part three next week, and maybe I'll do part four the week after that. I'll do part five and six on the website. I don't want to overwhelm, you know, because I just want to get... I've already got part one and two on the website now because of the emails. I got to, you know, when people ask, boom, go to this page. You know, it's already there. So for those of you that missed part one and two, just go to the prophecy section of the website, and there's a section about who is Ellen White. Anyway, but before reading this excerpt from Sister White's writings in my studies a few days ago, I also came across another scripture, or, well, a scripture, that may make that which I'm about to share even more valid in the hearts of some. It's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 3 to 5, in box number 1 in the room. It says, "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also are lively stones. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Right? Now, many Christians accept Jesus as Lord. But at the same time, they refuse to do their duties in the church with their God-given talent. And it's not all the time it's so much a character flaw. It's they may somehow feel that he is doing it. Jesus is doing it. And since he is Christ, let him do it. But it's repeated often and on, over and again in Scripture that when Christ works, he does work through his people. When he's building his perfect church, each one of us are lively stones in that spiritual house he's building. Yes, he is and always will be the cornerstone of that building, but he also needs us to do our part so the walls will stand strong. Each of us have a duty in the building of the spiritual house of God. Even if you feel you are insignificant and very low in stature in your walk with him, you are still a very important stone in that wall, and without it, it will most assuredly crumble and fall. I mean, this is an overwhelming fact. Now, if the picture of the stone wall doesn't show up in the chat room right now, click the link in box number 2. And look at that picture. Notice all the different sized stones that make up that stone wall. Even if the smallest, and there's some tiny ones in there, there's some real tiny ones in there. If you look real close, you'll see them. So even if the smallest stone is removed from the wall, for whatever reason, be it for disbelief or false doctrine or sin or any other reason, if even the smallest person or pebble is taken from that wall, it's going to be in real danger of collapse. It may take some time to fall without that small stone, but eventually, as time goes by and the natural trials of wind and rain pummel that wall, it will fall unless that stone is replaced. And yeah, amen, what Brother Rob just said. Some of you can do things I can't, and I can do things you can't. Every single some of my kids can do things that really blow my mind. How can you do that? You know, and some of my friends are the same way. I just can't do that. How do you do that? You know, and so every one of us have a job to do. How many of us have come across an old stone hedge walking in the woods that's falling apart due to lack of maintenance? I know it's happened to me out there in a midday prayer, and I find a nice place in the woods and go for a walk and come across an old foundation of some old house. And it looks pretty sad. And as I come upon it, the natural response is always to try to replace the stones that fell out. The longer we refuse to place our stone in its place, or at least shore it up with doing the work we are called to do, time will eventually threaten the strength of that entire wall. Since Jesus did say the gates of hell will never prevail against his church, a new stone will eventually have to be placed there by our Lord. We all saw how we, the Gentile people, were grafted into the vine when the original Israel decided to remove their stones from the wall. We also saw, quite recently for some of us, how the Seventh-day Adventist people pulled their stones completely out of the wall over the years, and that caused us to step up as was prophesied. We would step up in Matthew 20, verses 1 to 7, and Revelation 12, 17. As we walk as we watched these members of the SDA churches remove their stones in retrospect, it did appear that the church was going to fall because of the apostasy and the obvious shaking of those that refused to do as Christ commands. But as we look at how we, the Seventh-day Remnant people, have taken up the task, it appears the wall's starting to look pretty good now. Still, our Lord is no respecter of persons. And with that understanding, we must agree that if we don't do this work He has prophesied we were called to do, He will get somebody else to do it. We've seen Him do this all throughout Scripture. And we also know how Ellen White herself came to the task to do a mighty work for God after two men refused to do their duty long ago. We would have two men of God considered to be prophets in today's world. Instead, we have one woman. As the prophecy stated, in the last days your daughter shall prophesy. I have no doubt in my heart that we are the people of God, and we have been chosen to do this final work for Him. Whether it's to cultivate the work in our children's lives, or at the same time with them, hand in hand, as they grow into adulthood, see the eastern sky split together as a family. Just looking at the pillars of our faith makes it clear, in my mind at least, that we have a special calling. Most Christians don't know the truth as we know it. We are also aware that because our faith is so unique, as prophecy predicted it would be, we are to be a very small remnant on earth. So small, in fact, that most of us can't even find any like-minded believers in our neck of the woods, anywhere in our area. I don't know of anybody in our area that believes the way we do. Some come kind of close, but then they might say Sister White's not a prophet, or they might say the SDA Church is not Babylon, or whatever. They misunderstand certain areas of prophecy. That's okay. That's fine. The apostles butted their heads for 10 days too. Eventually, they may come to an agreement with us and hope and pray they do. So, when we think about this, we're so small, and we are truly a remnant people. Does this make us weak? Well, I gotta ask. Did it make David weak when he ran towards Goliath? Did it make Noah weak when he saw how small his home church was? Did it make the Gideon band weak, the first Gideon band, when Gideon himself stood there with 300 men ready to fight and win against 135,000 Midians? Amen. Posing warrior, it makes us stronger. It actually makes us stronger. I mean, look, the Lord started His church with 12 men. I mean, the truth is, the smaller the church, the greater the opportunity for the Lord to move His hand so as to prove to the world it's not us doing His work. Just like I was saying earlier, they're scared to death of us. That's why they're coming up with all these anti-Christian laws and trying to figure out a way to torture or shut up Christians. Because they're so scared of us. They don't realize it's not us. They're fearful of it's our God. And so the greater, like I was saying, the greater the opportunity, the smaller the church is, the greater the opportunity for the Lord's hand to move and to prove to the world that He exists. It's the Creator of the people that is working here. As small as we are, we have a duty. That being said, I hope what I'm about to share sparks a flame of zeal within the hearts of all that truly love the Lord and want His return to be quickened. For it was because of Him we are here today, and it was because of His sacrifice we are heaven bound. He not only paid the price for our salvation, He paid the price for us to do this final work and this most important work. All of Christian prophecy points to our day and the work of the final church. I don't know about you, but I feel extra special as a Christian in that our Lord allowed us to be alive today. We could have been born thousands of years ago, but we're alive today when all this stuff's going to really, really happen that all the prophets talked about. All the prophets talked about our day. And here we are, the church that's going to do it. Now, I'm getting a little excited here. And I praise His name for this. Now, as you know, I've never based a sermon on Ellen White's writings before. in what, the 26 years I've been preaching? So this is a first for me, all right? Praise your name, Father. Thank you. So this is definitely a first. But knowing here that, as we all do, that she is a prophet, I see this as a good thing that I'm about to share.
So give me a second here.
All right. And this is from Testimonies, Volume 9, starting on page 104. Let me get some water. It's hard to preach sometimes when it gets like this because you can't talk. And I want to preach, so. So thank you for answering prayer again, Father, so quickly. Aye. She said in Testimonies, Volume 9, page 104, starting on paragraph 1, she said, "Behold, I come quickly," Christ declares, "and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." And that's Revelation 22:12, of course. "The Lord at his coming will scrutinize every talent." Every talent. "He will demand interest on the capital he has entrusted. By his own humiliation and agony, by his life of toil and his death of shame, Christ has paid for the service of all who have taken his name and profess to be his servants." Pretty blunt. "All are under deepest obligation to improve every capability for the work of winning souls to him. Ye are not your own," he says, "for ye are bought with a price." You all know what the price is, right? He was beaten half to death and then nailed on a cross to die for something he didn't do. It was what you did that got him there. That's how much he loves you. "So, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God by a life of service that will win men and women from sin to righteousness." That's 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. "We are bought with the price of Christ's own life, bought that we may return to God his own faithful service. We have no time now to give our energies and talents to worldly enterprises, especially now that we see all these Sunday laws passing. We know we're on the verge. And we also know that the Sunday laws that they're passing and the Sunday laws that they're trying to pass is not how the mark of the beast is enforced. No. When you look at all these Sunday laws passing and stuff like that, guess what's going to happen? Well, I believe the same thing's going to happen in the hearts of those that were standing there in 70 AD and they saw the city surrounded. They saw that as a sign to get out of the city. When I see all these Sunday laws being passed, it tells me that they're on the verge and now we got to get louder. And that's what causes them to push the Sunday laws, to try to shut us up. The loud cry is what causes the Sunday laws. The Lord is letting us know we got to get ready. We got to start working." She goes on. She says, "Shall we become absorbed in serving the world, serving ourselves, and lose eternal life and the everlasting bliss of heaven? Oh, we cannot afford to do this," she says. "Let every talent be employed in the work of God. Those who receive the truth are, by their efforts, to increase the number of men and women who shall be laborers together with God. Souls are to be enlightened and taught to serve God intelligently. They are to be continually increased in the knowledge of righteousness. All heaven," this is nice here, "all heaven is interested in carrying forward of the work that Christ came to the world to do." All of heaven. So we've got a lot of friends in high places here in regards to this movement we're in. She says, "Heavenly agencies are opening ways for the light of truth to shine to the dark places of the earth." And for those of you that are in the doing the work like we're doing, like me, Rob, and Craig, and Gary, and even some of the part-time ministers that are out there, you know, like Jim and Brother Dick, and you know, the guys that spread their faith on a regular basis, you see doors opening. You see these opportunities. It's just like uncanny the way the Lord's hand moves, and just things happen, you know. And if I didn't mention any names, it's only because I can't remember half your names. And so, but anyway, she says, "Angels are waiting to communicate to those who will take hold of the work that has been pointed out to us for years. All right, again, I'm going to repeat that one. Angels are waiting to communicate to those who will take hold of the work that has been pointed out to us for years. Okay, again, I'm going to harp this one out again. They're passing son-in-laws. They just passed one 24 hours after ratifying the European Union Constitution, which is called the Lisbon Treaty. Within 24 hours, it suddenly became illegal to be open on Sundays. Okay, it looks like our work is being pointed out again. So she goes on. Shall we not manifest an interest to set in operation ways and means for the opening up of city work? That doesn't mean live in the city. It means go in there and do the work. Okay? Many opportunities have been lost through neglecting to do this work at once, through failing to go forward in faith. The Lord says, had you exercised faith in the messages I have sent, there would not be such a lack of workers and of means for their support. Now, think about that for a moment. How many full-time preachers do you know of that preach the Seventh-day Remnant message? How many full-time preachers? I only know of four. That's it. Me, Brother Rob, Brother Craig, and Brother Gary. We're the only full-time ministers that I know of that are in the Seventh-day Remnant. Am I mistaken here? Is there somebody out there I don't know about? Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, no, Brother Jeff is not full-time. He's an electrician at the same time. Like Brother Jim, he's not full-time. I forgot about Brother Gray. Gray, is he full-time minister? And Cliff in Southeast Africa is full-time, but he hasn't, from what I understand, I don't recall, he hasn't done the 21 questions thing yet. Well, Gray is five. Okay, so that makes it five. I've got to correct this thing. Five. All right. They put Gray. Yeah, Gary and Gray. It's like they're almost spelled the same there, too. Just one extra letter, it looks like, right? Yeah, one extra letter. And you got to say it G'day, right? The R was like a D, G'day. Kind of like the way the Australians say hello. Yeah, that's what. Brother Clifford in South Africa, he is also full time. From what I understand, I don't know 100%, but he hasn't completely stated he's thinking about becoming a Seventh Day Remnant. He has told me that, but he hasn't completely stated that I am a Seventh Day Remnant to me yet. So that's why I'm only mentioning before, and then now I know of Brother Garay. So, that being said, are we setting ourselves up for a mighty fall? What would happen if one of us, or all of us, are taken out of the picture? We seriously need men of God to step up right now, and I know the Lord protects us, but still, why put the Lord thy God to a foolish test? We need young men, especially young men that will have an opportunity to not only work for the Lord for many years, but have the energy of a youthful body to work with the Lord. Because I got to tell you, as I get older, I'm getting slower. Another fact comes from what she's saying here in that even though we only have five full-time ministers, okay, I got to correct that. Okay. Since we only have five full-time ministers, the Lord is still moving. And many souls are being led into the church monthly and sometimes even weekly. I mean, the emails and the phone calls that I'm getting alone, I don't know what Brother Rob is getting and all the other preachers are getting, to be honest with you, but I know what I'm seeing. And the emails and the phone calls I get alone confirm that this does, the Lord's hand is moving here. And then every now and then, like right now, the radio is we're getting a lot of bandwidth movement on there right now. It always seems to be, you know, new people all the time. And the families in the conference room right now, we've got 53 families here, and some of them have multiple families with them. But as Sister White says, a lack of means for their support limits us greatly to move forward in ways we must do to gain even more souls. As I look back in history, I see how many struggling preachers that worked for the Lord that had heavenly desires to do a great work that would bring many souls into the church, but they were never able to do so because of the Christians that are commanded of God to tithe and give love offerings to those ministries that the Lord used to bless them in whatever way they needed, never give them tithe. They never tithe to them. So the work slows to a crawl. I can see how those ministers' hands were tied because I, too, am a struggling preacher. I mean, some months are good and others are not so good. Ellen White said in Acts of the Apostles on page 336, she says, one-tenth of all the increase was claimed by the Lord as his own, and to withhold it, to withhold the tithe, was regarded by him as robbery. And just last night in our weekly Bible study, we found in Early Writings, page 96, that the cause of truth should not be hindered in its onward progress for want of means. Early Writings, page 96. We just ran across that one last night. And no, this sermon is not about tithing. But that is something the Christian church has failed to do over the years, and it has been a major contributor to the work not getting done in a timely manner. This is why Satan recently started a movement wherein preachers, and I have run across Seventh-day Adventist preachers out there that have been taking Scripture out of context to make it appear that the tithing stopped 2,000 years ago. Satan does this to prevent the work from being funded properly because he knows in so doing many souls will never get to learn the truth as we know it because our hands are literally tied. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not seeking to force anyone to tithe. No preacher, pastor, minister, or Christian can force anyone to tithe or give love offerings to God's work. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's why I never ask man. I always, all I can do is preach and do as he directs. He will do the rest as he promised me he would do many years ago in that field when he called me to do this work and I started asking him questions and promised him things that I wouldn't do on a pulpit. If the soul that is called to further the work of God by tithe and love offering refuses, another more obedient soul will be moved by the Lord to take their place in the wall. I know. I've seen this happen going on 9 years since going full-time in the ministry. Never once have I asked for anyone's tithe, yet the Lord hears the prayers of myself and my wife when we ask him for help in each time that we are in need. And then those faithful and lively stones in the wall hear his voice, and clearly they send the means of support just like the Lord heard us ask for it. Each and every time. It's amazing how he does that. Those that do refuse are eventually replaced by those that will do as their Heavenly Father commands. Sadly, during their time of refusal, certain vital soul-winning projects for the Lord have to be put on hold. And so the influx of new members into the church is greatly slowed. Still, the work must go forward, no matter how slow it may seem to progress by us. She goes on to say in Testimonies, Volume 9, page 105, she says, "The coming of Christ is near and hasteth greatly. The time in which to labor is short, and men and women are perishing," said the angel. "Should not the men who have had great light cooperate with him who sent his Son to do to the world to give light and salvation to men? Shall men who have received the knowledge of truth, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, show but little appreciation of him who came to earth and that his divine power might be the heritage of every believing soul? It was thus that the dignity of Christ was to become effectual in the salvation of the race. And the intercession of our great high priest availed before the throne of God. The plan was devised in heaven. Shall those who have been bought with such a price fail of appreciating the great salvation? The Lord cannot commend the people who, professing godliness, professing to believe in the soon coming of Christ, leave the cities unwarned of the judgments that are soon to fall on the land. Those who do this will be judged for their neglect. Christ gave his precious life to save the souls that are perishing in their sins. Shall we refuse to do the work assigned us? Refuse to go to cooperate with God and heavenly agencies? There are thousands who are doing this, who are failing of becoming one with Christ failing of letting the great sacrifice of Christ shine forth in the life in saving grace that reveals the truth in works of righteousness. Yet, this is the work given to men by the sacrifice of the Son of God. Knowing this, can we remain indifferent? I appeal to our brethren, wake up. The spiritual faculties will grow weak and die if they are not exercised in winning souls to Christ. What excuse can be offered for the neglect of the great, grand work that Christ gave his life to accomplish? I mean, as prophecy says, the 10 virgins have been sleeping. But the time has truly come for them to wake up. And as we know, only 5 of them are going to have enough Holy Spirit. She goes on, we cannot afford. In the few days we have here on earth to spend our time in trifling and nothingness, we need to humble our souls before God, that every heart may drink in the truth and let it work in the life a reformation that will convince the world that this is indeed the truth of God. Let the life be hid with Christ in God. Only when we seek the Lord as little children, when we cease picking flaws in our brethren and sisters, and those who are seeking to carry faithfully the responsibilities of the work and seek to get our own hearts right with God, can he use us to glorify to the glory of his name? We all, she says, need to come into self-sacrificing position before God if our work is to be accepted by him. Let us remember that profession is nothing unless we have the truth in the heart. We need the converting power of God to take hold of us, that we may understand the needs of a perishing world. And what does the Bible say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, right? So get in your Bibles, and get in your Bibles daily. Don't start your day without it. The burden, she says, of my message to you is get ready. Get ready to meet the Lord. Trim your lamps, and let the light of truth shine forth into the byways and the hedges. There is a world to be warned of the near approach of the end of all things. My brethren and sisters, seek the Lord while he may be found. There is a time coming when those who have wasted their time and opportunities will wish they had sought him. That's what Amos talks about. They're going to be going from coast to coast looking for the words of God, and they ain't going to be able to find them. There are famine in the land. It was too late for them then. She says, God has given you reasoning faculties. He wants you to keep in the line of reason and in the line of labor. He wants you to go forth to our churches to labor earnestly for him. He wants you to institute meetings for those outside the churches that the people may learn the truths of this last message of warning. There are places where you will be gladly received, where souls will thank you for coming to their help. May the Lord help you take hold of this work as you never have yet taken hold of it. In other words, she's obviously suggesting home Bible study meeting here. Many of us know of people that are open to this truth that we share. But maybe out of embarrassment or something, or in lack of confidence, we're fearful to say, you know, I study the Bible every day. Would you like to join me? I mean, many of us meet on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays already here for study each week, but some cannot make it at those times, and that's understandable. Still, meetings can be started that coincide with your schedules, and you can help spread the message of truth, the present truth to yourself. And you don't have to be a Bible scholar. I mean, you can read the Bible with a friend, and both of you try, you know, you study it together. And that's the way, you know, none of us are perfect, none of us are doctors of divinity, none of us know it all. None of us. I don't care how many pastors we have, we don't know it all. The hardest part in reaching some of the lost souls is simply asking them, how would you like to meet together once a week to discuss scripture? I mean, seriously, sometimes that's the biggest hurdle. That's it. Once you've done that and you get over that one, the rest is just ridiculously easy. And I do believe you'll be surprised at how some people are going to respond. If they say no, thank you, well, move on to the next person. I mean, no big deal. I mean, pray for them, yes, but move on just the same. You don't want to force your faith. The other nice thing about our church setup is if those you ask are stuck at home, you know, a lot, you know, like maybe they're older or whatever, and they can't get out, but they have internet, invite them to our conference and when we meet. And if you want to do a meeting at a different time, let me know. I can help you. So continuing with Sister White in Thessalonians 9, page 107 now. She says, let us begin to work for those who have not had the light. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The Savior declares, and lo, I am with you always. Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20. What we need is a living faith. Faith to proclaim over the rent sepulchre of Joseph, you know, the open tomb, that we have a living Savior because he opened it. One who will go before us, that being Jesus, of course, and who will work with us. God will do the work if we will furnish him the instruments. There needs to be among us a great deal more of prayer and much less of unbelief. And praise the Lord for that, too. We had quite a few people in our prayer meeting last night. It started off pretty good, but then we lost a few, but then the radio picked up. And the phone picked up, too. So I guess they were having a little connection issue. But she goes on, she says, we need to lift up the standard higher and still higher before the people. We need to remember that Christ is always at our right hand as we proclaim liberty to the captives and deal the bread of life to hungry souls. When we keep before our minds the urgency and importance of our work, the salvation of God will be revealed in a remarkable manner. You know, the days are coming, by the way, when it's going to be evil and good. And people are literally going to want to join your number because they know when they go to their churches, they don't act Christian at all. They're very hateful towards each other. They're vulgar and all whatever else. People are going to be leaving all the churches, and they're going to be coming up to people like us and saying, you know, okay, fine, we don't really understand your Sabbath thing, but boy, you certainly do reflect Christ in the way you walk and talk. And that's our door open right there. That's been opening a lot lately. Got another pastor to call me, and a guy that's got his own ministry up in Ohio that started keeping Sabbath because of the work we're doing here. And now he had a bunch of questions, so I was on the phone with him for 2 hours. She goes on. She says, God help us to put on the armor and to act as if we were in earnest, as if the souls of men and women were worth saving. Let us seek a new conversion. I like to pray that prayer a lot. I want to keep my walk with him fresh, a new conversion. She says, we need the presence of the Holy Spirit of God with us that our hearts may be softened and that we may not bring a harsh spirit into the work. Now, as a church body, some of us have seen how those that left our number or those that refused to leave Babylon have treated us. I, for example, have seen many insults over the years. False rumors have been spread about me. I've seen like-minded brethren seek my incarceration unjustly, and yes, I've also seen my share of death threats. And I know the evil spirit by which this works. And I know full well how easy it is to see, even as I was a babe in Christ. I knew when those that used such hatred, you know, to try and get me to join their churches were proving hands down they were allowing Satan to speak through them. You know, like those street preachers. I was just watching one a minute ago, well, before church started. I was watching a street preacher on YouTube. And they called people, well, this guy wasn't doing it. I was trying to find a good one. This guy was fairly nice, but they were screaming and yelling at him, and he was just reading scripture, so he was doing it well. But most of these guys they're calling people whores and whoremongers and drunks, and they're all going to hell. I mean, this harsh reproach to souls never does anything but push people further away from the truth. I mean, case in point, thanks to all those hateful Christians in the world, we are now hated by all the world. And soon many of us would be put to death simply because we're Christians. So continuing in Sister White's writing, I pray that the Holy Spirit may take full possession of our hearts. Let us act like children of God who are looking to him for counsel, ready to work out his plans wherever presented. God will be glorified by such a people, and those who witness our zeal will say amen and amen. Awake, awake, put on thy strength. O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good. Oh, no, wait. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the, yeah. That bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice all together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And that's Isaiah 52, verses 1 to 10. And she also said, and I think I put this in the room too, I'm being attacked right now. I'm really ill, and I've been praying on and off here every 5 minutes, so I might have to stop, but let me just get this one. Testimonies, volume six. Testimony, volume six, page 434, says, souls are perishing out of Christ, and those who profess to be Christ's disciples are letting them die. Our brethren have talents entrusted to them for the very work of saving souls, but some have bound these up in a napkin and buried them in the earth. How much do such idlers resemble the angel who is represented as flying in the midst of heaven, proclaiming the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus? What manner of entreaty, or what manner of request, or petition, or plea can be brought to bear upon the idlers that will arouse them to go to work for the Master? What can we say to the slothful church member to make him realize the necessity of unearthing his talent and putting it out to the exchangers? There will be no idler, no slothful one, found inside the kingdom of heaven. Oh, that God would set this matter in all its importance before the sleeping churches. Oh, that Zion would arise and put on her beautiful garments. Oh, that she would shine. And in closing, I would like to share a few more thoughts from the Publishing Ministries, page 284 and 85. It says, it is the Christian's business to shine. The professed follower of Christ is not fulfilling the requirements of the gospel unless he is ministering to others. He is never to forget that he is to let his life so shine before men that they, seeking his good works, may glorify their Father which is in heaven. Have you noticed how the Muslims are constantly preaching? And look at the Jehovah's Witnesses door to door. Look at all these people that are not Christians are showing more zealousness than we are. Well, it's not all of us. There's a lot of us here that do the work, so please don't feel there are some of the young that aren't, though. This is what I'm getting at. She goes on to say that those with whom the Christian comes in contact have a right to know what has been revealed to the follower of Christ, and he is to make it known by precept and example. The Christian is to publish the good news of salvation, he is never to weary of the recital of God's goodness. What are you doing, my Christian brothers and sisters? Can you say that as far as it was in your power, you have declared or represented Christ and his love for fallen humanity to those who know him not? If you have confined your efforts mostly to those who are of the same faith as yourself, what about seeking those who are lost? Because a lot of us do that. We like to share our faith with like-minded brethren, but sometimes we balk at doing it to those we know are lost. She says, if the curtain could be rolled back, you would see souls perishing in their sins and the church idle, indolent, unsympathetic, absorbed in selfish interests, and caring not whether souls are saved or lost, so long as they themselves can have an easy time and be secure in the hope of salvation. But no one will ever enter heaven who is not a laborer together with God. One last thing. Have you noticed, again, I mentioned this earlier, on my main page, all those Sunday law articles. Each day, one or two new articles. This week, I didn't do it on the seventh day because I don't update the site on the Sabbath. Do we need any more proof that we need to get busy? We know for a fact that they won't pass enforceable Sunday laws, as prophecy speaks of, until the loud cry is administered. Will all these laws and talks of laws wake up the virgins to get them start preaching? Yes, I believe this is how it's going to work with some of us. For I know in my heart that reading these articles, it has lit a fire in me that makes me very convinced convinced that we got to do the work, and concerned for those that believe these lying preachers. Especially when I saw that Roman Catholic commercial. These people are going to join this church because they think it's telling the truth on that video. This fire lights my zeal, and I can't help but want to go forth and with even more zeal to warn the people, and so the loud cry will start. I know this fire has been lit in my house. Has it been lit in yours? Yeah, there's a Roman Catholic commercial out there. It's 2 minutes long. It's at CatholicsComeHome.org. It was on a regular TV. My wife saw it when she was visiting my daughter. Isaiah 58:12 says, And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. I apologize for not being able to share as much as I wanted to share in some of the quotes that she shared, but I am not feeling well. And it just came on me. It's obvious the enemy's trying to shut me up. But after church, we can just, I mean, if you want to start something at home, there's all sorts of things we can do from home. And so after whoever's going to sing here, hopefully it's a fairly long song because I want to go and relax for about 2 or 3 minutes. and then we'll be back for prayer. If I can't make it back for prayer, Brother Rob would please close out in prayer for me. All right? Thank you, Cheryl. So, but I'll be back. I want to discuss this stuff about the things that we can do together as a church family. So, I'll be back in a minute. So, wherever the music's coming from, thank you, Jesus. And again, I apologize. I wanted to go a little bit more in depth with this, but, you know, I'm sure that which needed to be heard was shared. And so, praise the Lord thy God for the truth that he has shared. And I hope and pray you were blessed this Sabbath day. Back in a minute.
In my heart, a quiet voice whispers, telling me that I've a choice to make. Throughout each day, I choose the path that I will take. And deep inside, I know the choices I will make. I'll choose each day the Lord's way as my own. I will stand strong for what is true, and I will do what he will do. I'll be a friend who goes alone. I'll choose the Lord's way as my own. And I will live what I believe. Extend a hand to those in need. I'll be a light to all around me. I will keep
forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, unto our God, and he will abundantly pardon, he will abundantly pardon you. Return to the Lord. Return to the Lord.
If we can all bow our heads for a closing prayer, kneel as far as possible. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness. We thank you, Lord, for opening our blinded eyes through the miracle of shining thy truth into our darkened hearts. And we pray that this truth may take hold and may bring about the creation of a new child in the image of God. Help us, Lord, to share our faith. Help us, Lord, to share the truth with others, that they too can know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent, that they too may be able to have salvation and to be freed from bondage to the hard taskmaster that the devil is. We pray, Lord, that your truth will continue to speed and spread around the world, that there may be an abundant harvest to thy name's sake, to thy glory, and to the increase of thy kingdom. We thank you for allowing each one of us to be alive for such a time as this, for it is not by mistake that we were born into this particular generation at this particular time of Earth's history, and that we are here in this room and listening to this sermon and broadcast is not by mistake, but it is by design. And so I pray that you'll help us to awaken more fully than we have ever before, and to do all that we can to spread the truth to others so that thy coming can be hastened and we can get off of this dark and wicked world. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. Thank you again, Lord, for thy great and marvelous love for each one of us. We love you too. And now help us with thy spirit, with thy strength, with the courage that we need to show and manifest our love for you by bringing other precious souls into thy hands and enlargement of thy kingdom. Thank you again for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Again, if any of those would like to have tracks, one-page tracks, mailed to them so that they can take these tracks and give them to their friends, their loved ones, mail them to their, actually just going through the phone book and looking up the addresses and sending them a simple letter with a couple tracks in it. However you can get the word and spread the word out to others, if you just write me or email me, and I'll be more than happy to send some tracks to you. And you can take the tracks and copy them for yourselves, and, you know, just go down to your local copy place and, for like less than 10 cents, make a copy of them and be able to pass them out. My email address is lightmin, LIGHTMIN, lightmin at tarragon.com. Tarragon is TERRAGON.com. So lightmin at tarragon.com.